my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So what am I trying to say this morning? That Jesus gave thanks to God for his past blessings. But I believe he not only did he give him thanks for his past blessings, he gave thanks to God for his present blessings. Praise God, we can see and we can be certain that our Lord Jesus was being and he was laboring with us in the awesome of abiding presence of our Lord. And God was blessing him and protecting him in his present blessings. You see, our Lord had come on a mission that would involve teaching and healing and also dying on the cross. Praise God, he was so near to the completion of his mission that he felt thankful to God because of his job, because of the joy of his personal accomplishment. No doubt he was thankful, praise God, for those 11 faithful disciples who had stood by him, didn't get the notion like Judas and would betray him, even though some of them decided that they wouldn't walk close with him. When the end came, we know that Peter threw in the towel. Peter, praise God, wouldn't go with him. Praise God, Peter was asked, are you one of them? And what did Peter do? Do I have any sailors in here? Hallelujah. Peter started cursing like a sailor and said, I didn't know him. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave thanks to God for his present blessings. And we need to do the same thing, because I'd rather look around this church. God has blessed us. God has blessed us with so many things. When I look out here today, I didn't see anybody rolled in here in a wheelchair. I didn't see anybody walk in here on any crutches. I didn't see anybody who was carried in here, praise God, by somebody else. And we ought to be glad and we ought to be thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Every time I get an opportunity, I thank God for all that he's done. Let me give you some examples. Every time I get a chance to go to the hospital and visit somebody, I thank God for my portion of health and my strength. Every time I have the opportunity, praise God, to go and attend one of those Special Olympics, I thank God that he gave me activities of my legs. I thank God that he gave me the activity of my arms. Every time I see somebody standing out under a porch somewhere by a railroad track, not having food enough to eat, dirty in their clothes, I thank God that he didn't allow me to be in that prediction. I thank God, praise God, during those hard economic times, that he gave me a job so that I was able to pay my bills. I thank God because of all the things that he's done. And as I look around this church this morning, there ought to be somebody standing on their feet, giving God some praise, giving God some thanks. I look at all of these children, praise God, they're not being with their biological parents, but they have somebody who's trying to show them some love, somebody who's trying to bring them to church, somebody who's trying to tell them that Jesus is for real. You ought to be thankful for everything that somebody do. I look at all of the kids who've been raised by grandparents today. I look at children today who've been raised by grandparents today. Parents had them but abandoned them. Thank God for grandmothers. If you're a grandmother in here, pat yourself on the back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, to thank him for all the things that he done. But not only did Jesus thank him for his past blessings, not only did he thank him for his present blessings, he thanked him for his future blessings. He knew that he was going to go to a cross. He knew that he was going to die. But one of the things that he knew that once he laid his body down, that he was going to get up. 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 Hallelujah. And be elevated. Praise God. To the right hand of God the Father, where he's sitting, intervening and intercessing for me. He looked down the road, praise God, throughout all kinds of generations, and he saw me coming along and knew that I was going to need somebody to go my bail. I thank God for his past blessings. I thank God for the present blessings that he had. I sure enough thank God for his future blessings. Because if I have, I believe it's Hebrew chapter 12. He said, wherefore we are encamped about by such great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay beside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us. And let us run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. And right now, he's set up, sit up in glory. I thank him, I thank him, I thank him for one Friday evening when he marched up a hill called Calvary. I thank him for not getting off of that cross. I thank him for taking the lashes for me. I thank him for the crown of thorn that was put on his head. I thank him for the nails that were driven through his feet. I thank him for the nails that were driven through his hands. I thank him, hallelujah, for the fierce, for the hole that was pierced in his side. I thank him, I thank him, I thank him, I thank him for staying on that cross, way yard, until he died. He locked his head in the locks of his shoulder, and he died. Oh, did he die? Yes, he died. I thank him when they took him down off of that cross, put him in a bar of grave. But early, 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 one Sunday morning, he got up. He got up, and I sure enough thank him for getting up with all power. All power. All power.
he got up with all power in his hand. Jesus gave thanks to God. He thanked him for all of the past blessings. He thanked him for the present blessings. He thanked him for the future. And let me tell you something. As brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we need to be thanking God for all of the things that we've done. Praise God. Because if the truth was told, praise God, some of us have done some things that we should be 6 foot in our grave. But thanks be to God that he spared our lives. Some of us are doing some things today that we have no business to do. But God has continued to spare us, and we ought to say thank you. Praise God. And the reason why we want to say thank you, because there is a future abode for us. That future abode is in heaven. Jesus gave thanks to his Father. I give thanks to Jesus Christ.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Anger, bitterness, and anxiety, even some life-dominating sin, or whatever the case may be. Well, the problem is you know you can't handle it by yourself, and you need the Lord. Are you with me here? Reverend Coleman just made his testimony this morning. He didn't try in his own strength to bring his blood down, but he had to call on the Lord. And every time we call on the Lord, it just let us know how frail we are and how strong he is. And so in the text, we find Jacob faced with that kind of crisis as he is returning to Canaan in obedience to God to face Esau, his brother, whom he had cheated 20 years before out of his birthright. And Jacob didn't know how Esau would receive him. And so when Jacob's messenger came back and told him that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men, Jacob froze with fear and began praying to God, according to verse 11, saying, "Oh God, deliver me from my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack not only me, but my wives and children as well." And so Jacob took his wives, servants, and company over across the Jabbok River to the south side, and he went alone to the north bank. Because Jacob's plan, amen, had been that if Esau attacked one camp, him being in the other, he could escape. But that wasn't God's plan. Because the way God helps us is by breaking us of our inherent self-dependence so that we will learn to lean and depend totally on him. Because our problem many times that, like Jacob, we all want to use God and his blessings to further our own ends. And so the Bible reveals that all of Jacob's life he had been using God and people to get what he wanted for himself. But now God is getting ready to show Jacob that you don't use God, but you submit to him. Because when you submit to God, he blesses us. And so in order to break Jacob, he has to have a wrestling match with God. And so this morning, I don't know if you know it, but we have some ringside seat to witness a wrestling match of all time. Because this is no doubt the most unusual wrestling match in history. Now, this event takes place in an open-air arena beside the Jabba River. And in one corner stands Jacob, affectionately known as Big Jake or the Schemer. And yes, Lord. And in the other corner is God himself. What a billing we have here, Big Jake versus Jehovah. And so here in the text, we have a blow-by-blow account of Jacob's wrestling match with the omnipotent God. But how foolish is this? Someone may be thinking, who in the world would take God Almighty on one-on-one in a wrestling match? Well, believe it or not, if the truth be told, all of us at one point in time have taken on God. In other words, we've stepped in the ring, so to speak, and wrestled with him about life. Perhaps right now, as we speak, someone could be struggling with God about a situation or some problem or some difficulty or injustice he or she has encountered. And that's why I believe it'd be good for us to sit down in our ringside seats and learn a lesson from Jacob wrestling with God. And believe it or not, but the road that led to this encounter with God began even before Jacob was born. Because the Bible says, according to Genesis 25:19-26, that Jacob's mother Rebekah was disturbed by the wrestling match that was going on in the stomach between Jacob and his twin brother Esau. Because these two were, yes, destined to become two nations, and there they were in their mother's womb, duking it out, amen, for dominance. And the Bible says that when they came forth from their mother's womb, Jacob grabbed Esau's heel as if to pull him back in an effort to be the firstborn, which was a position of prominence in the Hebrew family. And so the family, observing this unusual trait in this baby, named him Jacob. Because in the ancient Hebrew culture, a person's name carried with him the very essence and identity of that person. In other words, the Hebrew parents didn't just choose a name for their baby because it sounded good, nor did they choose one just because it was a popular name, but because they chose it because the name fit the child. And therefore, the Jacob name means supplanter, schemer, cheater, and one who grabs from behind. And so the remainder of his life up until this main event revealed that Jacob was properly named. He wrestled with Esau, his brother, to obtain his birthright. And he and his mother formed a tag team as they wrestled with his father to obtain the blessing of the firstborn. He wrestled with his uncle Laban, who, yes, gave him a run for his money over flock herds and his daughters. And now he's about to wrestle with God. And so everything that has happened and was happening in his life had been leading up to this one critical and crucial encounter. Because by name and by nature, Jacob has for a long time walked the roads of his own choosing, which was the road of self-will, the road of selfish goals, which was the road of his own strength and resources. But now all the roads led past the Jabba River. The word Jabba means wrestling. And so one may wonder, what is it that brought Jacob to this spiritual crisis in his life? And as he sits on this River Jordan all by himself. Well, obviously, one reason is his name and nature. And Jacob is growing weary of wrestling and struggling with his life. How many here today who might be just weary of struggling and wrestling with your life? You ought to just turn loose and let God have his way. Are you with me? Sure. Yeah, Jacob had some previous encounters with God, but despite the Lord's blessings upon his life, Jacob was still insistent on singing that old song that said, I did it my way. How many of you today are singing that song, I did it my way? But now all he has now to show for his insistence in doing it his way and not God's way are a bunch of family problems. Because when he left home, his father was no doubt disappointed in him. His brother Esau swore to kill him. And then he wasn't that popular with his uncle Laban and his in-laws. And to top it off, he got two wives who are continually fighting against each other. In other words, Jacob's family is a mess. But now come the main event. Now, it could be that Jacob had begun to pray that night, and perhaps in agony of soul, he cried out to the Lord. Perhaps it was the first time in his life to earnestly wrestle in prayer. It was as though he sensed that God was really present with him. And so God's presence and purpose became more and more real to Jacob until suddenly he was real. His uplifted arms were actually clinging to God himself. There he was, flesh to flesh, bone to bone in human form. In other words, Jacob found himself wrestling with an angel, which was an epiphany of the incarnate Christ. And all of a sudden, Jacob, in his depression, he realized the precious opportunity before him. He knew that if he let go, then God would leave him with his needs unmet, his prayers unanswered. And so Jacob wrestled with God back and forth. And he used some popular terms that they use in the wrestling. He used some hammer locks and head locks. And he used some full Nelsons and some scissors. And the struggle went on and on for hours. Here we see God in his grace and mercy was allowing Jacob to wrestle and to work out his fleshly nature and his anxieties. In his struggle, in his wrestling, his faith and understanding was growing. But the turning point came when God touched Jacob in the hollow of his thigh. And when he did that, he dislocated the ball socket joint of his thigh. And suddenly he was weakened and immobilized. And Jacob yelled out in pain, and he stopped wrestling and started clinging. Are y'all with me? Now, there's a difference between wrestling and clinging. Because to wrestle is to contend, to fight for dominance. But to cling is just to hold on. To hold on and grasp for desperation. And so here in verse 26, the pre-incarnate Christ knew that the morning light was breaking. So he told Jacob, let me go for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Here we see that Jacob was persistent in his prayer, persistent in his plea, and serious in his request to God, even though his body was racked with pain. Now, how many of you today, when you're clinging and praying to the Lord, just because he doesn't come right away and deliver you, you let go? My brothers and sisters, you ought to still hold on, because now Jacob was holding on in faith and not wrestling in fear. My brothers and sisters, the Lord desires our prayer to be fervent and persistent. How do we know that? Because Jesus says in Luke 11, 9 and 10, he said, ask and it shall be given. He says, seek, and you'll find. He says, knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. But now the key here is to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking until your answer to your prayers come. And this is not wrestling with God in fear, but it's holding on in faith until your breakthrough comes. And so in the text, God, yes, Lord, blesses Jacob, not because he had to or was forced to, but because Jacob was ready to receive the blessing. But before you can be blessed, he must break us of our self-dependence as we cling to him in brokenness. And I need to tell you that brokenness is the path to blessing. Because before God can use a person greatly, he has to break you. Why is this? Because we all have our built-in propensities to trust in our own strength, to trust in ourselves. Thus, God must break us of our self-dependence. Because all of Jacob's life, he had thought that Esau and Laban was his adversaries. And so he had struggled and schemed to get the blessings he thought these men was taking from him. This is a lesson to all of us. You don't have to try to be jealous and try to get what somebody else has. Because whatever God has for you, it is for you. All you got to do is just wait on the Lord. Are y'all here with me? Blessings. He was waiting for the blessing that God had promised to give him anyway. Yeah, he was struggling and fighting where God had already promised to give him the blessing, but he didn't know it. But ever at some point in this struggle, Jacob discovers to his horror that actually he was his own adversary. Some of us are our own worst enemies. We're looking around at everybody else, but we are our own enemies because we're standing in our own way. Are y'all here with me? Yes. And so then God had to wrestle with him into submission in order to reveal to him. But in the same way like Jacob, many times we too think that the enemy the problem is out there, as I always say. Yes, somebody believe that the problem may be my wife. Yes, it may be my husband. It may be my parents. Well, it could be my boss. Well, it could be some my poor circumstances. But in reality, the enemy and problem isn't really out there, but the problem is right there in you and right there in me. It's in my flesh and your flesh, my sinfulness and your sinfulness. Are y'all here with me? And the selfish nature that dominates my life and your life. And so God has revealed to you and me the power of our flesh before he can deliver us from it. Because obviously God could have crippled Jacob in the first minute of the contest. So you wonder, why didn't he do it sooner? Why did he allow the wrestling match to last all night long? My brothers and sisters, God wanted to show Jacob the power of self-will. And so the Lord kept waiting to see if Jacob would surrender. But he kept on fighting. And so it was only until God crippled him that Jacob gave in. And so to make sure that Jacob has learned the lesson, the Lord asked him a question. As he clings to the Lord. And so in verse 27, the Lord asks, what is your name? Now, God knew the answer, but he wanted Jacob to confess. And not just, yes, Lord, his name, but also his character. And so he said, my name is Jacob. My name is Schemer. My name is the Conniver. My name, yes, Lord, is the Heel Catcher. My brothers and sisters, it's only after Jacob acknowledged who he was that the Lord God blessed him. Meaning part of the process of knowing God involved knowing ourselves. Because until God revealed the power of our sinful nature to us, we tend to think that we are not all that bad. I'm not that bad of a sinner. In fact, I'm a pretty good person. But Christ didn't come and die for good people, but he came to save sinners. And so until we come to realize, like Paul in Romans 7 and 18, that nothing good dwells in our flesh, and we will continue to depend on ourselves and our goodness more than we depend on the Lord. And so God's breaking process revealed to us the power of the flesh. But even more, God's breaking process reveals to us the power of God. Because before God touched Jacob and crippled him, he probably thought that the fight was pretty evenly matched. But soon he realized that God was on playing with him, like a lion playing with a little mice. And suddenly he realizes the power of God. And in the same way, until God breaks us, we have the tendency to think that we are in control of all of the affairs of our lives. We are directing things as the best we think. But then the lion roars, and in one easy swipe, he cripples us, and we learn of his awesome power. We learned that